you know, after serving years and years and years in NT Darwin and Alice Springs, and hearing other inmates and stuff like that, hearing there when they've gotten out, come back and hearing what, you know, how difficult it was for them to get back into life and all that kind of stuff, you know, Centrelink, work, even just finding another job, you know, because they've served so long. So I started pre-planning before I got out, years before I got out, you know. I thought, oh, well, I'll try not to become a statistic, you know what I mean, like, and, mm. and try and educate myself so I can help others and that in this sort of line too, you know. And then rode out to a heap of people, like the Ombudsman, the Minister for Corrections, the Superintendent of the Deputies, the Commissioner of Corrections, and, you know, didn't hear one thing back from either of them, no help, no nothing whatsoever. You know, done my best, you know, like I was an open security rating prisoner, which I was entitled to paid employment because I'm a long-term serving prisoner. It's that's the part of the reintegration program.
Okay.
And they refused to reintegrate me, refused to let me do that stuff. So I got out with zero cents to my account.
Is that scary?
Yeah.
To think, all right, I'm going to get booted out here in a minute and it's fend for yourself.
Yeah, 100%, you know. No help from anyone there in the NT Corrections. And then Anglicare, I filled out an Anglicare form, got in contact with them. They straight away came in, got the ball rolling. And, you know, as soon as I got out, it was just bang, got everything going, helped me out with everything, you know, and took a lot of stress, a lot of weight off the shoulders, especially with accommodation and that too, because, you know, after serving that long, like when you're coming up to your parole or your end of your sentence, it's either, well, you find an address, otherwise you're serving full time, you know what I mean? Like, this is how it is. And then, or if you could have 10 addresses, but they'll all get knocked back by parole, you know. Well, you can't live there because this person lives there, or because of this, or because of that. So the first address, you know, when Jason and Adam gave, it was approved, and I've been there ever since now. So
where do you reckon you might have been at if you didn't have that support? If you'd walked out with your bit of paper and your boots on, I mean, by all reports, you're sort of the shining star of this program, Shannon, speaking to Jason earlier on. But had you not had that support and that guidance, where do you think you would have ended up?
Oh, look, it, you know, it definitely would have been a struggle, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if I was still on the streets or back in jail, you know what I mean? Like, it's everything's so expensive, you know, and part of the parole is you have to be employed, you have to have accommodation to live at, and, you know, there's no accommodation, bang, that's a breach with parole. So I probably would have ended up, they would have just thrown me back in jail, because simple fact of that.
Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it? If that's a breach of your parole and they don't help you find that sort of thing, you're really relying on a service like Anglicare just to tick those initial boxes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, you know, they don't help you with it, but they'll tell you, like,
it's sort of a crooked leg to start on. Have you had the chance, Shannon, to speak to other people that are verging on parole and to recommend the program to them, or to spread the word a little bit amongst fellas that are still in there?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I still keep in contact with all the fellas that I met and knew, and my family and the nephews and grandsons, and that are still locked up right now. And, you know, I still keep in contact with them, write to them all the time, send them in photos. They've got my number on their PDS, so they call me up whenever they get the chance to, and I'll answer their calls. No matter where I am, what's involved, bang, I'm straight onto it, you know what I mean? Because I've been there, I know exactly how hard it is, especially when you haven't got anybody on the outside that can help you with that stuff. And, you know, a lot of people get hesitant too, because they're like, oh, what's he in there for? Or what's she in there for? Or what, you know, it's risky helping them, or this, and that. And it shouldn't be like that.
You sound very passionate about the program, Shannon, since they've helped you out.
Yeah. Oh, look, you know, it's nothing but love and support, and that's what I felt as soon as I got out with it, you know. And they've helped me out with volunteering down a local boxing club and stuff like that, and that all come down from them now. Invite me out for breakfast and stuff and coffees and that down at Alice Plaza, and, you know, so they even go to the way after hours to try and help and support me and a couple of the other lads that are out here on the same program, you know what I mean? So it's not like it just ends.
Having something like boxing also gives you something to do, so it's not a matter of just doing the housing, the banking, all that sort of stuff. But like you said, you've got a job, but if you're doing something like boxing together, it's almost building that community amongst all the fellas that are sharing a similar experience, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, you got a beautiful crowd and that go down there too, all walks of life, young and old, and mad and unmad, you know. But yeah,
quirky little place.
Yeah, it's a quirky. It's kind of reminds me of that place and some of them blocks inside the correction, you know. But no, it's you know, like, you have a good laugh, and it's just a good environment, and good. It's a great place too to find other resources with the people that come there. You know, like we got counsellors and stuff like that, and everybody goes there, Anglicare. So it's a win-win situation, you know what I mean?
And that's important, isn't it, having that purpose and stuff to do so you're not just milling about or bored or, you know, getting yourself into trouble potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. And you know what the hardest thing is for everybody that's in the correction is to find somebody outside of the correctional system to trust you enough. If you got a face full of tattoos like mine, and you know when some of the people look at you, they're crossing the other side of the path because they don't know how to take you or anything like that. You know what I mean? So it's very, very difficult for pretty much everybody in the corrections to, unless they have people inside those networks already that they know, you know what I mean?
Jason, how many people have you got on the program at the moment?
Well, we've got four houses, and so it's three per house. Yeah, probably nine maybe in the houses at the stage. We generally operate pretty close to capacity most times. It's a big demand. Like, we've got a wait list that's as long as my arm. It's everybody gets an opportunity, I think. Sometimes if they don't directly come straight to the Outcare program, they may end up in CAPU or DASA, which are drug and alcohol rehab centres. And then there's other requirements for when they've finished that part of the program, they might have to do some type of other programs like the Men's Behavioural Change, which is a program based around domestic violence or men in violence. So they might get sent to us for 16 weeks. So you know, with that movement, there's always a space for somebody to slip in. But yeah, there's times that we can pick up somebody at a drop of a hat and just get a phone call from Community Corrections today, and they say we need a room for someone for a week. Yeah, we pick them up. It puts the program behind because, you know, if you're helping them get on the Centrelink for that period, you know, you've got to get bedding and food. Generally, they don't have any money to kind of get over the line. So that puts the program, you know, back a little bit in terms of finances. We're not heavily funded program. We're probably one of the least funded programs in Anglicare. It's an amazing program. It's straightforward. It's blokes looking after blokes. And my work colleague, Adam, we both have fairly good credibility in town. And we've got great relationship with most providers and you know, businesses in Alice Springs. So when it comes to finding employment or just getting good people behind guys, just extra support, then that's kind of basically what we do. So it's just trying to give back what we have, what we live for each day, you know, whether it's family or work or money or driving a decent car, going to work each day and that type of lifestyle. It's, you know, helping guys kind of achieve that too and get into that same type of responsibility. And if there's a little bit of structure on top of responsibility, then that's a bonus, and that's basically what we're about.